and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Oh, thanks, brother. That was, yeah, you read the whole thing of Proverbs.
Yep.
Let's go through these, and I just want to talk about them. What sticks out to you? What stuck out to me real quick? Mm-hmm. I guess I knew this, but this one just jumped out at me. Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction and wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. I'm sorry, the verse, we'll go back to that, but the verse I really wanted was 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I guess I always used to hear and preaching in the streets, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But this says knowledge. It's just a little bit different. It basically, let's see what that word knowledge means.
Yeah, there's this one that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then the other one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
And the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
Yeah, it means wisdom, perception. There's a good one, perception. We were just talking about that, discerning things. What's your perception? How can you perceive that what you're about to do or what you're going to encounter or how you're going to handle a situation?
Well, that next word, discernment, is right on there.
Yep, and discernment. Yep, perception, discernment, yeah. Knowledge. So, yeah, that's interesting. But, yeah, that I was looking up that word in verse 3, equity, evenness, uprightness, straightness, smoothness, rightly. So it kind of goes along with like righteousness, equity. It's like what's the right thing to do? When you do a business deal, you don't rip your neighbor off. You do what's right. You give him 3 pounds of meat. You give him 3 pounds of meat. You don't put your finger on the scale and cheat him. And then he talks about justice as well and judgment. Isn't that interesting? He brings up judgment, a verdict, a sentence, a decree. God's word is full of judgment, verdicts, and decrees, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm thinking about equity as well. It's like that evenness. It also applies to, like, the life of someone that's living by wisdom. Like, we're supposed to use the world, not abuse it. Let our moderation be known to all men. It's kind of like it's like an even, it's like equity. We do everything without partiality and all of this.
And when you think about it, it's like evenness. You think about it, it's the spirit, it's the word. Yeah, sometimes there's a little bit of flesh in there when we have to do something that is of the flesh, whether it's work or whatever. And you think about all those things, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, experience, all of these things come in. And if anything is slanted too much, like if you know the word a lot but you don't apply it much, it really is of no avail. But if you apply things a lot but you don't do it in the word, it's of no avail. If you do judgment all the time, you're off balance. If you never judge, you're off balance. It's that smoothness and that evenness of a scale. You look at a scale and it's like it's an even balance, right?
Yep.
That's how we're supposed to live our Christian life. We were kind of talking about that. Verse 5, a wise man will hear. We talk about that all the time.
Yep.
To be a hearer in the New Testament is akouo. This one is shama. To listen. Isn't that interesting? To hear, to listen, obey. If you hear the words of Jesus, you obey. You don't just hear.
Next is like, and will increase learning.
Yep, yep. Yeah, the word obedience comes up all over there. You heard, you're obeying, cause to hear. So that makes sense what we talk about all the time. Like when we tell people, when we street preach, you either have people, most of them are indifferent, could care less. Then there's the next group that is mockers and haters. Then you get people that will actually listen to the preaching of God's word. Then you get people that are hearers. That means the listening went in the ears, and then they start hearing it. It goes to their heart, and then they start obeying it. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, they hear it, they understand, they say, that makes sense. That's like
a... And they act on it.
Yeah.
They act on it. Wise man hears, will increase in learning. Will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So that means... if you have people around you that you trust, take counsel from them. That means you can read the scriptures and take counsel from people in the scriptures. Hey, he did good there. I think I'll take counsel on that. Hey, that man of God fell down there. I don't think I'll be doing that. I think I'll learn from that. So
I think it's interesting that he uses such like the language is this will happen.
Yep.
Like a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. It's like, you can't be a man of understanding without...
Right. An apple tree will produce apples.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a given, right?
Yeah.
And it's a given because it's a work of God in the Spirit, right?
Yep. It's like that mold. It's like...
Yeah.
You're fitting into the mold of every wise person, every man of understanding. Mm.
All right, so here, I'll ask you a question. Verse 6. To understand a proverb and the interpretation and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. What do you think that's talking about? Dark sayings.
Well, oh, this is nice. Yeah. So it gave some cross references.
Yep, yep.
One of them was Psalms, which Jesus also quoted, I will open my mouth in a parable, I'll speak unto them. Like things that have been kept secret from the beginning of the world, that kind of a thing.
So dark sayings, it's not like what we would think in the world, like dark meaning wicked and evil and occult. It means, I don't know, let me look at it closer. Does it mean mysteries? Could it mean like mysteries that not everybody can understand, you think?
I think it's like, like a parable.
Yeah.
It's like only those that have the understanding can understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, because doesn't it say in the New Testament when Jesus was talking that their eyes are darkened and their ears are dull of hearing?
Yeah,
so that's...
It's given unto you to know
yep.
these parables, but they...
Yep.
don't understand it.
Yeah. So this is a good example where you got to rightly divide the word so people will read that and they'll go, dark sayings. Oh, God's word's about dark sayings. Well, look at the word. Understand what the scripture is saying. It means darkened. It means you don't have enlightenment about that truth, what it means.
Oh, they put a little thing next to it, that little letter. It says riddles.
So yep, like, yeah, there you like go. Parables. Riddles, mysteries. Yeah. Yep, yeah. Yep. And then we covered 7. Fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, which is like wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hmm. So we go to a churchianity event, we proclaim the word of God, and they despise it. Are they not fools according to the word of God?
So if you look at that word instruction, properly chastisement, warning, instruction, also restraint. So fools hate chastisement.
Yeah. So when we go there and we preach, this is not biblical Christianity. This is churchianity. This is of the flesh. This is not of the Father. This is instruction to them on how they can find the way. And fools hate that. The proverb says, rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee. Rebuke a scorner, he hates you. And most times these people hate us. I think that shows their heart. Right? Because we're not standing there calling them jerks and idiots and all. We don't even call them fools. I do say that a fool doesn't hear the word of God. Now, if you're offended by that, you just put yourself in a category of fool. I didn't tell you that.
Yeah.
You just put yourself in the category of that, right?
Yep.
So, isn't that interesting? Instruction means all of those things.
I like down at verse 9. An ornament of grace unto thy head. You think about the armor of God, the helm of salvation. It's an ornament of grace. We're saved by grace. The grace of God.
And chains about thy neck.
Chains. Yeah, necklace.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like...
kind of like the yoke.
Yeah, it's like a yoke, and it's also, I think that ties to like where God told them with the frontlets and with other things to have the word of God on them. You know what I mean? In certain cases, I think that's what that could be talking about. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Hey, you mean we have a choice? We're not totally depraved. We can actually choose to not be led around by a harlot woman or people that want to lead us into sin. We can actually choose.
Yep.
Imagine that. Yeah, look at that. Verse 11. Talk about wickedness. Come with us. Let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Sounds like thugs or something, doesn't it? Waiting for to like get some old couple in a dark alley and rob them or mug them or something.
Yeah. But it's almost like this portion where it's talking about like laying wait for blood and whatnot. It's kind of how like the scriptures talk about violence. You want to think, oh, violence is like
punching somebody.
Punching someone, but like this is like come with us. Let it, and he talks about like greed afterwards.
Yep. Yeah, violence is like can be injustice.
Yeah.
Right? Like stealing somebody's wallet is violence, according to God. Greed.
So it's like these like wicked people that are greedy will use the poor. They'll lay in wait to like abuse the poor so they can get more gain, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. You got, there's no doubt about it in Scripture. God is a defender of the downtrodden, the downcast. God's always looking out for the underprivileged, because we know in society that tends to be the people in power that take more advantage over those people, and God's always looking. The least will be the greatest in heaven, and the greatest on earth will be the least in heaven. Kind of turns it upside down, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, Satan promotes those in his kingdom that are the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
If you bow down and worship him, he'll give you everything.
Amen.
He'll swallow them up alive. And that's interesting, that word grave is Sheol.
Yep.
And whole is those that go down into the pit.
Yeah, look at 13. We shall find all precious substance, material goods, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. We'll all be united in this together, huh?
Mm-hmm. I find it interesting. It says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them.
It's in the wrong way.
Well, I was going to say, like, if you're walking in like the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ, don't walk in the way with sinners or greedy people, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, amen. Is it Proverbs or Psalm? I think it's Proverbs. Yeah, it's Proverbs. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So there is another way.
Yeah.
It's going in the wrong direction.
Refrain thy foot from their path.
Their path. Mm-hmm. For their feet run to evil. And
they
make
don't walk to evil.
Yeah, they make haste to shed blood. Yeah, they're ready for violence and surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird.
I like that. I think 17 and 18 are probably... or 17, 18, 19 probably my favorite portion of that chapter.
Wow. They lay in wait for their own blood and they lurk privily for their own lives. And then 19 sums it up, right? There you go. If you want to know what he's talking about, you go, I don't know, I'm confused by all those verses. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth out, she uttereth her voice in the streets.
Yeah, I mean,
that verse tells us what the other previous ones were about.
Well, see, those people that say, he that shutteth his lips is wise, well, wisdom's crying out in the streets. You're going to tell wisdom to be quiet?
Yeah, oh, we shouldn't be.
Yeah.
What verse were we on, brother? 19?
Yep.
Yeah, 19 explains what he's talking about above. So the greedy which gain take away their life of the owners thereof.
See, like, taking away the life, that's why it's like, let us lay wait for blood, let us look. It's like, maybe not like the physical killing, but it's more like just destroying people's lives.
Yeah, anything that's destruction, violence, injustice, outside of God's order. Wisdom cries without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Yeah, like you said, some people talked about that verse, crying in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city she uttereth her sayings. What does the word concourse mean?
I think that's like the marketplace almost.
A loud sound. No, wait, did I hit the wrong word?
Yeah, the place of concourse, like it's like the clamor, commotion, great commotion. So I'm guessing that's like a... in the place of, like, commotion. Like a market.
Wait, why am I... What's the Greek... What's the Hebrew word of concourse? Am I hitting the wrong button here?
Pama?
Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, it says to make a loud sound.
Yep.
Concourse, to make a loud sound. Clamors, to clamor.
Being okay. Commotion.
To murmur, to growl, to roar, cry aloud. Look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Isn't that interesting? Fools hate knowledge. I think it's easy to hate knowledge when you're a fool, because knowledge exposes your foolishness. Knowledge exposes all your wrong ways, right?
Yeah, I think that word simplicity, it might like... You have to look at the... Because, like, people say, oh, there's simplicity in Christ. But that's not, like, the same kind
it
of...
Mean, no, this means silly.
Yeah, it means, like, foolish.
Naivety, foolish. Ready? It says open-minded. That's that saying where you say your mind is so open, your brain falls out. You no longer discern. You're open-minded to all different faith systems and religions. It's your mind is too far open.
It's almost... And they love it. Yep. It's like you can't serve two masters kind of a thing.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You might as well say, that verse might as well say, how long, ye simple ones, will you love foolishness? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge, because it goes right in hand.
Well, you just talked about that guy laughing at the truth of God. Yep. Scorners delight in their scorning.
Yeah, I'm always amazed when we go out, and like even at mostly at Christian places, and people come out, and they laugh about the Word of God, and they it's strange to me how I know they're not born of God, and that makes everything come make sense again, but they laugh. They literally, when you give them the truth of God, they will laugh as if you like told them a joke. They have a foolishness about the things of God rather than a seriousness, a sober mindedness about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and will make known my words unto you. That reminds me of John 16, where Jesus says, my spirit will teach you all truth.
Yep. I will make known my words unto you.
Mm-hmm. That's the fruit of, we know that as a child of God, the word of God is made known to them. They're a seeker, they're a hearer, they're a doer. They have fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not just a sayer, but a doer.
That'd be a good verse for like, repentance and being born again. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you.
Yep, that's why we preach faith and repentance and then be born again. You have to have a object of your faith and repentance before God pours out his spirit, right?
Yeah.
Because I have called ye and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth.
Yeah.
Many are called, few are chosen, few answer the call. Reminds me of the wedding feast, marriage supper of the Lamb.
That's what I was thinking.
Is that what you're thinking about that?
Yep.
No man regardeth. I got oxen to train. I got things to go do, right?
Yep.
I got football games to go watch. I got this to go do. I can't sit in church for more than an hour. Let's get out of here. The game's about ready to start.
Yep.
Foolishness. But ye have set at naught my counsel and would none of my reproof.
Well, there's a verse that says, basically, the righteous have secret counsel with God. I really like...
The righteous have secret
counsel? Yeah, like the... Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, as you're looking for that, it makes me think of that. Ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. That reminds me of John 9, where God says he hears not the prayers of sinners. So if people continue in their sin, and they're willfully against the truth of God, he's not going to hear their prayers. He'll hear a cry of repentance and a changed heart, but not if they continue on in their sin.
I'm going to find this verse because I remember it.
I'll read 27. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. What's the fruit of all of this? What's bringing all this upon them? Ignoring God's truth, not hearing counsel, not taking correction, hating knowledge and instruction. That's what's the fruit of all of this. Calamity, destruction, distress, anguish comes upon you. So when people say, why is my life like this? You might want to ask yourself, have you taken the counsel of God's word? Have you turned to God? Are you seeking the kingdom? Or are you making a bunch of foolish worldly decisions in your flesh?
Yeah.
Did you find your verse?
I did, yeah. It's Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And that word secret means secret counsel, basically. It means council, assembly. So
yeah.
It's almost like the secret counsel is with them that fear him.
Yep.
And he will show. What does that word show?
I think of Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the night. And most people say he was a Pharisee. He came at night because he probably didn't want nobody else to see him coming to talk to Jesus. So he's coming to find like secret counsel with the Lord.
Yep. Yeah, oh, this is the one I was thinking of. Proverbs 3:32. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous.
Yeah.
And that word secret means secret counsel.
Yep, secret counsel. And it can mean, like we talked about, can mean like mystery. And then that other verse in here said riddles. The riddles of the parables and to be able to understand them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Basically, the secret or the counsel of God, he'll show them his covenant. He'll show people the salvation if they order their conversation aright.
Yeah.
They walk in the truth. They want righteousness. Then he'll show them everything.
Yeah.
But if you're not willing to do that, it's...
Draw near to God, he draws near to you.
Yeah.
The prodigal had to repent and be heading home. Then the father came out to meet him.
Yep.
Right? Verse 28. Then they'll call upon me, but I will not answer. And they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me.
Yep.
So...
Oh, that word early... can mean diligently.
Yeah. So I wonder, so does this mean? So they do call upon him finally, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, diligently, but they shall not find me.
You know,
for they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. So
in Revelation, it talks about a time when the word of God is not going to be here anymore.
Yeah.
Seek the truth, but they won't be able to find it.
Yeah. Do you think this is talking about where like God turns people over? Think about it, because it says, for they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. It's like, these may be people that he turned over and they have no chance to come back.
Well, he did call them and they refused.
Yep.
He stretched out his hand.
Yep.
You don't yep. want it?
Okay. What does Peter say? Those who have tasted or had the chance and they refused, it's impossible. That may be a little bit different context, but it's kind of the same thing. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof. Let's see how it finishes. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. You reap what you sow. Right? For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But then go ahead.
That kind of made the connection, like eating the fruit of their own way. You know how Paul talks about they eat the fruit of that, you know, they sow it in the church kind of a thing, and they're kind of eating the fruit of their labor. Is he that plants the vineyard not allowed to eat the fruit
yep.
thereof, that
yep.
kind of a thing?
Amen.
The wicked, they plant their own vineyard, but they also eat that fruit.
Yeah. That reminds me of the planting and reaping. Planting good things, reaping good things. You can plant bad things and reap bad things. It reminds me of the great harvest that's coming. We talk about it all the time. In a grain field, there's a little bit of grain that's harvested and a whole bunch of chaff that's going to be burned up. And that's the goats and the people of the world versus the elect, the sheep of God. But look at the first verse. The last verse gives hope. Right? For verse 32 says, "For the turning away the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." 33 gives hope. "But whoso hearkeneth unto me, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil."
I like that word "hearkeneth." It says to hear intelligently.
I think in the New Testament that would be the word "akouo." Oh,
to hear, to listen, to obey. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, what's that word "quiet"? The word "quiet," peaceful, to have rest, be at peace, rest securely, be quiet. I like that. So there's hope. After all of that, there is hope. Those who hearken. So those ones in between seem to me, well, wait a minute. Verse 28, "They shall call upon me." Is that Matthew 7? "Lord, Lord, did we not do this and do this and do this in your name?" Yeah. "And I shall say, away from me, I never knew you." And then he tells us why. Workers of iniquity. So the people are going to call on the Lord, but they're going to be turned away. That makes sense?
So it's interesting that he says, "They shall call upon me, I will not answer." But down at 33, he says, "But whoso hearkeneth unto me." So it's like the difference between calling upon the Lord, maybe like the prayer of the sinner is an abomination kind of a thing, versus hearing the Lord, doing what he says.
Yep. That's the difference between listening and hearing. Listen, I heard some of the word of God. Hearing, I heard it, it went deep, and I obey it, and I live it. And God knows his sheep.
Yeah.
You see, what I love about these is you see like the rest of God's word weaved all through here, the concepts of God's word. It's like the fingerprint of God's truth is all over the Proverbs, the Psalms, it's all over all of the Bible. Revelation is full of Old Testament passages and Old Testament truth, so you see it weaved all the way through there. Yeah, "Whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." Yeah, we have a refuge in him. That's awesome. Good stuff. Yeah, that's a good chapter, brother.
Yeah, I like Proverbs 1.
Good word. I enjoyed doing that.